the prophetic traditions are many, and they cover all spheres of life and how one should live in this world. And without the prophetic traditions, without the ahadith, many things would be unclear. And if we were to count and number the ahadith, they would probably amount to 20,000-30,000 in the various books of ahadith. And the purpose is so that we can look through these traditions and we can live our lives in accordance to the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran mentions that innamal mu'minuna, that the mu'min is that individual who idha dhukira Allah wajilat qulubu, that when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, then their hearts tremble with fear. Verses of Suratul Anfal, the second verse of Suratul Anfal. So over here, innama, the word innama, this innama is used in the restrictive sense. And when it is used in the restrictive sense, it gives the translation of only. So the tarjuma and the translation of this verse, to be more accurate, would be that those who are mu'min, they are the only ones who, when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, their hearts tremble with fear. Now, the scholars, they've mentioned that fear is of two types. One is fear of iqab, fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment. And then there is fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's majesty and grandeur. And this is the fear which is associated with this particular ayah, because it was revealed at a time when the spoils of war were being collected in the Battle of Badr, or prior to distribution. So it was revealed regarding the Sahaba. And of course the Sahaba, they were close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they were beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was revealed related to them. So, and the fear over here, as mentioned by the Mufassireen, is that it's similar to a person who is needy. He has nothing. And he goes in front of a king, and the king is independent, doesn't have any need of this needy person, of this poor person. So now when this poor person looks at the king, he looks at the king with awe, with awe and with majesty. So this is the relationship between insan and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the fear which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining in this verse, that the mu'mineen, they fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not fear of punishment, but rather the position of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what they fear. Wajilat qulubun, so their hearts, it trembles with fear, trembles with the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the... So this awe is which is being explained in this verse, that the Sahaba, they had this awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of this awe, they were aware that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them. So only that person can be a mu'min whom, right, so to reiterate, only that person can be a mu'min who, when hearing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or when the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned, when the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, then that person, because of that hukum, because of where it's coming from, who it's coming from, the hearts tremble with fear, meaning that they recognize the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grandeur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is what this verse means. So this is how, when the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala come, we should always keep in mind that to be a true mu'min, one needs to accept that Allah is independent from everyone, from all creation, and we are completely and utterly dependent upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once we come to this realization, once this is firmly embedded in our hearts, then the deen and to practice the deen becomes very easy. It becomes extremely easy to practice and adopt the deen. In the Quran, there are verses like this, many verses like this, which really strike a chord. And sometimes the verses, they explain a lot more. There are verses in the Quran which, if these were the only verses revealed, they would be sufficient. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayh, regarding Suratul Asr, he would mention that if this surah was the only surah revealed and the rest of the Quran was not, then this surah would be sufficient. Because Wal Asr, it speaks about, it's few verses. It is a few verses, but it speaks about the importance of maintaining time. It speaks about insan and how insan is at loss, how humans are at loss. Except those who believe and who do a'mal salih, who do good deeds, a'mal salihat, and they enjoin good. They enjoin good. They tell each other to adopt sabr and to adopt patience. And they tell each other to accept the truth. At-tawasi. At-tawasi bis-sabr wa at-tawasi bil-haq. So if this surah was the only surah revealed, it would be sufficient. Similarly, even in ahadith, are many, as I've mentioned. 20,000-30,000 ahadith in the books. And they cover all aspects of life. But the scholars of hadith, they mention that there are four ahadith out of this massive corpus of ahadith, there are four ahadith which, if a person lives by them, then this is sufficient for that person's reformation. It's sufficient for that person's reformation, meaning that if he keeps these ahadith always in front of him, then he will be reformed. And not only keeping in front, but understanding the position and the meanings of those ahadith. So Abu Dawud rahmatullah alayh, the great scholar of hadith who compiled his sunan over a period of so many years, so he mentions these four ahadith. So he says that yakfil insan li dinihi min dhalik arbata ahadith, that for a person's deen, four ahadith are sufficient. Hadith number one, the hadith which we hear often, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that all actions are predicated on niyat, that the quality of the niyat is directly related to our actions. So if the quality of our niyat, of our intention, is pure and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that action also will be pure and it will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if that niyat is tarnished in any way, then that action will also be tarnished and it will not be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whatever action we do, then we should always keep in mind, we should always check our niyat at the beginning, in the middle, and at the end. Check the ikhlas, the sincerity of that intention, the sincerity of that action. and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. It will be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all actions are predicated on niyat, number one. The second ahadith, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that it is from the person's Islam. It is from a person's Islam that he leaves that which does not concern him. Things which do not concern an individual, one shouldn't even dwell into it. One shouldn't go into it. Things which do not concern him. That there are many things that there's no need for us to get into it. But somehow we are always attracted specifically to fitna. Sometimes this happens often that in the masjid, two people are having a discussion and other people join in, thinking that this discussion is for them as well. And then they give their two cents. First and foremost, the discussion is about something irrelevant and mundane anyway. And to come in and interject in that discussion, we are just extending that mundane talk, that futile talk. So anything which is futile and does not have anything related to deen, we should not even get into it. This is what tarkuhu ma la ya'ni is. Mundane talk, anything which is futile. It is not associated, it is not related to deen. It is not related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So tarkuhu ma la ya'ni. It is from a person's good Islam. If a person wants to truly follow Islam, then he should leave that which does not concern him. Anything which doesn't concern him. Anything which is not associated with deen. This is the second hadith. Always we should keep these ahadith in mind. The third ahadith. لا يكون المؤمن مؤمنا حتى يرضى لأخيه ما يرضى لنفسه. That a mu'min cannot be a true mu'min. A mu'min cannot be a mu'min in the truest sense of a word. Everyone is a believer. Everyone is mu'min. But there are levels of iman. Everyone is mu'min. Linguistically, the term mu'min means the one who has professed the faith or who professes the faith. So everyone is mu'min. But one cannot be a true mu'min until he is pleased with his brother, ما يرضى لنفسه, what pleases himself. What pleases him. So he should love for his brother what he loves for himself. If a person lives like this, then that person, he has truly covered hukukul ibad. If a person lives with this hadith his whole life, then he has covered hukukul ibad. This is what the Sufiya say. The people who are Sufis, this is what they tell. This is what they say. That if a person lives his life, by keeping this ahadith, keeping this hadith in perspective, then he has fulfilled hukukul ibad. This is what hukukul ibad is. Hukukul ibad is that a person should always love for his brother what he loves for himself. That we don't want people to speak behind our backs. We don't want people to slander us. But if in front of us people are speaking behind our backs, people are slandering, people are leveling insinuations, badgumani, su'ezan, then instead of joining in that kind of kalam, we should be a deterrent and say that no, this is not permitted. It covers so many branches of hukukul ibad. It covers all branches of hukukul ibad, I should say. So this is the third ahadith. The fourth hadith is الحلال بين والحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات. That the halal is clear and the haram is also clear. And in between the halal and the haram, there is the gray area. It's better that one just leaves it and one does not even go into it. Whatever is halal is mentioned by Allah and Rasul. Whatever is haram is mentioned by Allah and Rasul. And that which is in between, it could be permissible, it could be impermissible. But taqwa and wara is that one should not even go near it. It's better to not even go near it. So these four ahadith, if one keeps them in perspective, that person's deen is kamil. That person's reformation is kamil. So innamal a'malu binniyat, one. That all actions are predicated on niyat. Number two, min husni islam al-mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'ni, that it is from a person's good Islam that he leaves things which do not concern him. Number three, a mu'min cannot be a true mu'min. A believer cannot be a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And number four, the halal is clear and the haram is clear and everything in between, these are mushtabahat, these are ambiguous. Better to leave them and not even go near them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Jazakallah. Ha ha ha.